Hello. I don't know if you can hear me from the mic now or just for talking. Anyway, my name is Panagiotis Arayotis. I work for the European Network and Information Security Agency, ENISA. At ENISA, we are working with multi-annual thematic programs, which are setting our priorities and which we implement through several work packages. One of these multi-annual thematic programs is about improving the resilience of European public e-communication networks. So how we are going to do that and what is resilience for us? I will start from the second one. What is resilience for us? So the definition that we came up after for resilience is for the ability of a system to provide and maintain an acceptable level of service in face of faults that can be intentional or unintentional, or that can be naturally caused. And these faults that are affecting the normal operation of a network. So here is an example of a non-resilient system. And why it's not resilient? Because the main objective of resilience, the main aim of resilience, is for faults to be invisible to the users. So if it was a mail service, then you're sending a mail, maybe the mail server that will receive it is offline for several hours, but the mail will end to the inbox of the intended recipient. But as we move to real-time applications, then the resilience has to be not given only from a perspective of availability, but also from a perspective of performance. So how are we dealing with resilience? We have split the issue of resilience in three different tracks. Resilience that regards the policies that are in place to achieve resilience, and the regulators, and how do these regulators enforce the regulations. Then we have the market and operators. What measures do they take? What measures do the operators and the service providers take in order to have their networks resilient or have their services resilient? And evaluate what technologies are available in order to improve the resilience. For these three different tracks, we will follow several steps. First, we are stocktaking. We are consulting with the industry, we are consulting with the operators, we are consulting with regulators in order to see what is happening at this point of time. Then we will analyze the results of the stocktaking, and then we will probably develop best practices and guidelines and promote them in order to have recommendations. Our measurable target is by 2010, which is the extent to which this multi-annual thematic program will run, to have by 2010 50% of the member states of the EU to follow or at least to reference the recommendations made by the agency in their policy-making process. So, I will focus a bit on the technologies, on the work package that we are having about technologies. Our objectives there is to analyze the current and emerging technologies that are used by network operators and service providers in order to see if they can improve the resilience of their operations, of their networks. And we will focus, we are talking about operators, but of course as we are moving to IP convergence, we will focus only on IP backbone technologies. We have defined our stakeholders and which is our target group, but mainly our target group is regulators and policymakers. So, there was a consultation workshop held early March this year. The representative of the regulator of Sweden mentioned it, And in that workshop, there was consultation about with the stakeholders, and there were decisions on which technologies should we consider for improving the resilience. The consultation continues. At this point, talking to operators and talking to service providers in order to see if they are using these technologies and what are the results. This consultation is based on a questionnaire that we developed with a group of experts. .se contributed to that also, as a lot of other people, a lot of other experts in their areas. And we did the interviews, and we are planning to analyze them. But before we do so, we will present the initial findings in a workshop that will be held next November, November 12th and 13th, in Brussels. We are also compiling a report about the resilience features. This was outsourced to a research institute and will be prepared by the end of the year. And we are also, and we are going to have the analysis of the interview findings before the end of this year. So, and the validation of the findings will be together with experts and stakeholders, and this will happen early next year. So, which are the technologies that are evaluated? The three technologies are IPv6, DNSSEC, and MPLS. I will start from MPLS. MPLS is a well implemented network for the backbone of the net of the of the networks and mostly internets, and it replaces generally ATM and frame relay, and it allows the system administrators, the network operators, to define fine-tuning scenarios of the flow of the packets, and they can also define predefined scenarios of what will happen to each packet in a, in an event of a fault, in an occurrence of a fault. So that's why MPLS is being investigated. DNSSEC was a suggestion of the regulator of Sweden, and among with other stakeholders, they wanted to see if the DNSSEC can increase the resilience of public communications. Probably it can, if it's used right. And of course, there was a lot of media around DNS at the recently, after the flow that was discovered. But our decision to investigate this technology was before that, well before that. IPv6 is also a technology that is considered by many people that can increase the resilience of public communication network, and that's because mostly it will restore the end-to-end connectivity of the systems. There, a previous presenter from the European Commission said what are the actions that the European Commission is taking about IPv6, and that is a recent communication that came out last May, if I recall right. Of course, another drive to IPv6 is the lack of IPv4 addresses that is expected to happen late 2010. Okay, so we didn't want to duplicate any existing work, and there is a lot of work done by .se, by others, by the European Commission, that they have studied about the hurdles and the triggers for the deployment of IPv6 a few years ago. If I recall, it has been published late 2006, this study. So we didn't want to duplicate any of this work. Our targets were specific. We didn't want to reach a big number of operators to interview them because we didn't have the resources, so we targeted a small number of operators. At least 12, we said we have raised this limit to 20 operators, and we want to see the reasons that they have for implementing any of these technologies or not implementing it, investigate if the implementation of such a technology enhanced the resilience of their networks or didn't enhance it at all. But we want to say that with numbers. We want to quantify this enhancement through KPIs, key performance indicators. We also wanted to see if they measured customer reactions, if the customers reacted on these technologies, if they accepted it well, if there was a need from the customers to implement such technologies, and identify success and or failure stories for implementing these technologies. What we hope to be the outcome of this exercise. We hope to be able to have some best practices for providing recursive resolution service with DNSSEC validation. These are some ideas of mine and my team's for what could be the possible recommendations. That's not finalized, that's not decided yet that this would be the recommendation that we will make. We could do best practices for implementing these three technologies to small, medium enterprises, which is a big driver in the economy, but they lack the resources of implementing such technologies. We would like to make proposals about giving incentives for the implementation of IPv6 and DNSSEC, and probably something that I duplicate from the previous speaker of the European Commission is that we might require IT procurements to include IPv6 and DNSSEC capable products and systems. And one short-term possible recommendation would be if we could, through our working group, through consultations with experts, express an opinion on the consultation that's being held by the Department of Commerce of the U.S. on how to implement DNSSEC on the roof. So that's our work that has to do with the technologies, DNSSEC, IPv6, and MPLS. And there's the advertisement. There will be a workshop on 12th and 13th of November where the findings of the stock taking exercise through all the different tracks, I mean regulatory, operational measures, and technologies will be presented. And there will be input from the workshop to the agency in order to define what will be the directions that we will follow in the next years. What kind of recommendations should we try to make? So, summarizing, as we are moving to an ubiquitous connecting world where real-time applications will be used by everyone, the resilience of the network is very important, and this has been recognized by ENISA and, of course, by everybody. We are working with all sector actors, and we wish to have this kind of cooperation, so anybody is welcome to give its input to our work. And last comment, the technologies benefit in general are well understood, but the lack of incentives, the lack of the users need to implement them is there, and we need to anticipate that. So that's from me. I would, if you want to point us to our work, here they are. Established.
Yeah.
ENISA has been established by regulation on 2004, mm-hmm. but started operating on 2005, and we are located in Crete, Greece.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't really follow the findings of this study, DNSSEC, for instance. What is it going to be used for?
First of all, we'll be analyzed if there are any gaps that ENISA should proceed to fill. For example, some recommendations that need to be issued, or guidelines, or best use studies.
Okay.
At the workshop we will present the first findings of the interviews. The proper analysis will follow up by a contractor that we have and a working group that we have set it up with experts.
So how many are you working on this project now?
On the resilience project, I can say it's about 10 people. But not counting the working groups, because every small issue, every track has its own working group where experts are, we are consulted from their expertise.
So, any more questions for
Danny? We are running low on microphones, so I will run with the microphone.
Hi. If we would assume that you would choose DNSSEC as one of your focus areas, then what would happen then? How, let's say, recommendation is nice for a lot of European countries. How compulsory or tough is your recommendation?
Okay, the recommendation would be probably on a voluntary basis. We could say that this is something that will increase the security. But even so, even such a small step, I think it's important to have a European agency saying that this is a nice way to move, the right way to move, that this will improve your security. I know there are very many experts that are giving their point of view, but at Enisa we are trying to do what we can, and we only try to take up tasks that we can accomplish. We don't try to do something that is too big for us.
One more question. Coming.
Actually, there's a top-level domain. It's called .eu. And being a board member in that URIT organization, it would be very interesting to know if it's more compulsory for .eu than to acknowledge your recommendation.
If it's compulsory for .eu to, yeah. I think that at least Enisa will need to sign its domain pretty soon. This is not a driver for .eu, of course, for .eu domain, of course, but that's the best we can do at this moment of time. Of course, we had an offer from you, not from you directly, but one of your colleagues, to get Enisa.se in order to do signing testing for our organization, in order to be the first European agency that signs its domain. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. An applause. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't get the time schedule. When did you think you would be ready to give a recommendation or not for DNSSEC?
Okay, the time schedule, as I've shown as a slide, is on the end of 2010. We will end this multi-annual thematic program. But if we want to do, say, let's say something about giving a recommendation, giving our opinion on the signing of the route, we have to do it by the end of next month, because that's the time limit we have. So if something comes up, then we will do it as soon as we can.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to hear more from Enisa about this. Okay, this session should be about cooperation, and there's a suggestion for such a cooperation. It's called the DNSSEC Industry Coalition Activity. As I understand, this coalition shouldn't live forever. It should live for 1, 2, 3 years until the job is done. And this kind of industry coalition hasn't really been... I don't have any other example in the DNS business from this kind of coalition. So really because of the special situation we're in right now. And .org has been the sort of driving force in this, I would say. And we get Adam, who should present the ideas for this. So please.
Are you able to pull that up on a slide view? Sorry.
Good afternoon. My name is Adam Palmer, and I am the policy counsel for the .org Public Interest Registry, PIR, if you hear our name, based in Washington, D.C., just outside Washington, D.C., if you visit us. I'm going to talk to you about the DNSSEC coalition that my CEO has been extremely active in, along with others, in trying to build a collaborative effort with other members of the internet community like yourselves, to support and advocate and educate about DNSSEC. So I'm going to try to, I know it's the end of the day, hopefully you can all stay with me, and I'll try to go through this fairly quick. And we have a few members of that coalition who are here with us, Dr. Crocker and Stefan of .se, who can talk to you a little bit about what they are doing and the value that they are getting out of this group. And I'm kind of hoping that in one way that this maybe is an appropriate way to end today's sessions that have been so focused on DNSSEC, with the hope that you've heard all about it now, and we've talked about it, and we've come together in this room, and now here is the opportunity for you to become directly involved and to continue the kind of what we built on today and build on that with everybody here for the future. So, again, as I said, the idea was to bring together a collaborative group of members who could each contribute something unique and special to the effort to increase awareness and education about DNSSEC. We are about to organize formally. The group has actually existed for a couple of months now. We're in the process of drafting a charter. And one of the things that I'll tell you, if you're interested after I've talked to you in this group, you can talk to me or any of the other people here who are part of the group that you'll hear from about it, but I'd be happy to send you a copy of that charter and talk to you about what membership would involve. But who is in it, and who can be a member? Any TLD that shares our goals of accelerating the adoption of DNSSEC, and to provide a uniform rollout among registries, technologies, and software development companies. And what are we working on? How are we doing this? Well, so far, we've actually been using a decision-making model process, trying to make sure that every member has input and agreement on the actions of the group. And what we're trying to do is establish consistency of tools like you see there, applications that we can share best practices for implementing DNSSEC, so that the participating registries, which now include Afilias and PIR, can share information that will speed and streamline the adoption of DNSSEC and public education. You know, I bet everybody, if I took a poll in this room, belongs to some type of group focused on some issue that you care about. And unfortunately, so many of those groups are about talk, right? What we're trying to do is talk less and do more. So we're hoping that our group will not be, another group that just is all talk but actually takes action. And I think given the fact that, I'll describe to you the decision-making process that we've been through, that given the fact that we've already in a brief time come to some definite conclusions and decisions about an action plan, I think that, and I have confidence, and I think there's great hope that our group is going to accomplish what we're trying to do. As I mentioned, here's a list of the current participants, and I hope that you'll agree with me that each has a unique viewpoint and can offer a unique contribution. You see the registries, again, Nominet and .se, the other registries, I'm sorry that I didn't mention, along with .org and Afilias. And again, thank you for .se for inviting me to speak to you all. And, you know, we want this to be a global effort. And so that was one of the reasons my CEO said it was so important for us to be here when we were invited, because we really want to encourage all of you. We feel like it can't be a success unless we share ideas with you. Check any differences at the door and just talk about what we have in common and what our common concerns are with the adoption of DNSSEC. We have Shinkuro and, of course, the Internet Society, which works closely with .org. I told you that we're in the process of making decisions. If you're not familiar with it, there's a program called Expert Choice that .org is using right now. It's a decision-making model. It's designed to provide a collaborative group effort to agree upon complex decisions and to carefully evaluate every aspect of that decision. So for the last couple weeks, we have, in Washington, D.C., we've been waking up fairly early, and I think mid-afternoon for most of our colleagues in Europe, and we have been going through the decision-making models and deciding what it is that we want to do and how we want to do it. We came up with two models, and I'm going to kind of run through this pretty quickly because I don't want to focus, but I do want you to know that we've done this in a very deliberate manner and try to, again, be as careful and thoughtful about what we're doing as possible. We had two decision-making models. One was who should be the early adopters of DNSSEC? And the answer may surprise you a bit what our conclusion was. And also, once we've identified them, what are their critical requirements to successfully adopt DNSSEC? And I'm going to invite, as I run through this, also, again, a Dr. Crocker or Stefan who directly participated. I was really an observer on these calls where these decisions were made, but if they want to comment on these. But this is a decision I said might surprise you. The conclusion that was reached about the priority order from the group members of who would be the early adopters of DNSSEC, with hosting companies being the top provider. Stefan or Dr. Crocker, I don't know if either one of you want to comment at this point about the decision-making process while I'm talking about it.
Yeah, it was a very interesting tool to work with. I guess we all had different opinions on which the top priority should be, but thanks to the tools, this just happened by automatic, in some automatic way. No, it was a good way to work, but if you comment hosting company, what is a hosting company? Well, in many cases, a registrar could be a hosting company. So if you're a bit surprised to see registrars in the fourth place, well, I think registrars are common as hosting companies also. DNS providers, the difference between a registrar and DNS provider, Eva was speaking about that earlier today. So it's not really 100% clear where the borders are for these different categories. Would you like to comment more, Steve?
If I recall the names that we use, the terminology, DNS providers are providing secondary service or even primary service for zone operators to outsource for those that are probably have the capability within their own house to, so they're at the higher end, if you will. So a major company, like a Google or a Amazon, but which has undoubtedly enough capability to run its own name service, will outsource to a major DNS provider. And whereas the hosting companies and the registrars, when we talk about them signing zones on behalf of people. That's for the other end of the spectrum, the kind of lower end, if you will.
So the idea with this exercise was to get rid of some segments, actually, because there were a lot of different segments. So this was some sort of shortlist. Let's begin with these segments, right?
Right. Then after we identified, as they described, who would be the early adopters, we discussed what would be the priorities and categories of their critical requirements. And you see those outlined there. I think tools and applications, you know, providing them with the capability to implement DNSSEC. Next, educating them about the value and the benefit of DNSSEC. And lastly, education and advocacy for adoption. There are several assignments. I want to run through these fairly quickly because they're very similar, and I'd welcome, you know, if you want to have, I hate to be a talking head up here, so to speak, and I'd welcome, you know, if you want to have input, that's why I said, what are your recommendations? And again, hoping that it'll be more than just a comment today, but that you'll consider actively participating in the group. But, you know, as an example, this would be one example of our number one for hosting companies, the number one identified group, would be developing tools and applications that are of use to them, providing hosting companies with a streamlined implementation guide, you know, helping them to understand the best practices for the implementation of DNSSEC, the educational materials I discussed, and again, providing advocacy to other hosting providers. You'll see slightly different needs identified for each group. And I don't know if either Dr. Crocker or Stefan, do you want to make a comment about how you came about the decision-making process, again, for how each of these members, the different needs that they had?
I think there were quite different opinions on what the assignment should be, actually. So, but tools were number one, but there were definitely other opinions on what could best be done.
I have anything helpful to say. Alexa and Crystal and Lance ran the process and did a nice job of marshaling us all down this path so that we responded in a timely fashion. And it's been interesting to see the decision process. I think rather than spend a lot of time worrying about the specifics of the decisions, that the best thing is to move forward. So I've been pleased to see us operate in a kind of organized fashion.
I'll say one final word, and then I think Stefan has a few comments that he wants to make or questions for you to maybe put you on the spot even here today. Right, you didn't know what you got into when you opened the door here and sat down. But we have this small group of committed members who have devoted a significant amount of time to something that they believe is a worthy goal of being a responsible member of the internet community and worthy of their time and work to implement and a worthwhile pursuit for .org. It's an enormous, in some respects, it's an enormous and complicated, but manageable and doable goal for our registry. You know, we have a lot of different considerations to make. There's a lot of issues that we are dealing with as we implement it, but we've made the decision as a registry that this is important for us and something that we want to do and that we wanted to lead this effort. So, with that said, I hope that others will consider following our example and at the minimum join this group, offer your opinions, your ideas, and help us to understand the best way to do that. And so with that said, I will turn this again over to Stefan, but I'd like you to really think about how you can contribute, would you like to join, and what do you believe that you could contribute. And again, after this I'm going to sit down, but please feel free to stop me tonight at the dinner or after this talk if you'd like to talk some more about this coalition or even specifically about what .org's doing. I'd be happy to talk to you about that. Stefan.
Okay, considering we only have one microphone, would you like to sit in front here, and maybe Steve also? And do we have any other from affiliates or? No. You would not like to represent affiliates. Okay. Oops. Shit. That was the wrong button. Oof. That was a terrible mistake. Well, then I had tried to remember what my questions really were. I think the first question is really to switch this the other way around, not to ask what would you like to contribute with, but to ask what kind of help would be helpful to you to get, actually. So if you're considering to go into DNSSEC, what kind of help would be helpful for speed up your adoption to DNSSEC. So maybe we just should have some short introduction who we are, because I don't think everybody know if we are a registrar or TLD. Tell if you're a registrar or whatever. And you could also answer, what kind of help do you think would be helpful for you
to speed up your adoption to DNSSEC? You're running DNSSEC, so... Okay, Torbjörn Eklöf, a small host company, and everybody who saw me earlier today know that I need no help.
Hilde Thunem from the Norwegian Registry. We're still in the very early thinking process, so what help would we need? Well, more information of what the practical consequences are. Not the everything is going to be secure and everything's going to be fine part, but the what are the pitfalls, what do we do to fix them, how do we deal with the use of this?
Okay, I'm Fredrik Ljunggren from Kirei. I usually are on the helping side, and I've also been involved with .org, but not in this group.
Adolf Slama from the Swedish Post and Telecom Authority, and I'm listening and learning. I'm quite new at the agency, so. And we have DNSSEC. Anders Rafting is our expert on that one.
Pernilla Rydmark, I work with Staffanet.se.
Esther Mackay from the Dutch Registry. We're planning on implementing DNSSEC with Enum and in... investing possibilities for .nl.
I'm Gunn Hefner from Logica, and I'm here representing our customers, which are quite a few.
I'm sorry, you're from where?
Logica.
Uh-huh. Okay, Pierre Bonis from .fr, so we are a little bit like... .no at the very early stage of thinking about it. We are waiting for information about the DNSSEC within the registrar model. What does it change in terms of automatic relationship with our registrar, for instance?
Okay, so I'm Eva Frelich, I'm running a .se registrar here in Sweden, but I've also been on the board for .org for 4 years, and during my period as chair of .org, we started off the work with implementing DNSSEC for .org, so that was in fact started when I was the chair of the PIR board. My question is, when I talked to your current CEO, Alexa Rod, in... at the ICANN meeting in Paris a couple of months ago, I said to her that I want to be a part of the Friends and Family project that you're ongoing. I haven't seen anything of that so far, so my question is when that will become rolling, and also, I guess we will get some kind of message. Also, we are not an ICANN-accredited registrar, but we are a DNS provider on a global level. And what role do you see us as a DNS provider but not an ICANN accredited registrar. As you, as a GTL, need to go through all the ICANN accredited registrars and can't talk directly to us, so to say, according to the agreements you have. How do you will you see that working? And I don't know if you should take these questions, quite extensive questions, after the presentation, maybe.
We'll take care of you.
Thank you.
My name is Per Edgård, and I'm from Domain Info. I can accredit registrar in Gothenburg. And we have not yet decided on this DNSSEC, and I'm here to learn. And if it would be to implement this, I suppose we would need a good set of a toolbox, how we could easily implement this in our system and so on.
My name is Lai Heng Zhong. I'm from Malaysia, .my.next. So we plan to launch our test DNS test bed next year, and now it's in the middle of developing the test bed. So we might need some help or in terms of technical or advice or the hardware or software kind of things, you know, and even the policy advice from you guys. Oh, thank you.
My name is Kjell Rieger, and I'm representing Swedbank here in Sweden, and we are working with DNSSEC for several years now in test environment. My concern about this is very much about the tools to manage it, but also some risks about implementing DNSSEC in production for bank.
I'm Shane Kerr. I'm here on behalf of Filius, and I'm the one that's actually doing the technical side of signing.org. So if you want details about the stuff that we've been doing and what our thoughts are on that, feel free to grab me in the hall or dinner or send me a mail or whatever.
I'm Jose Lopez from the Spanish Registry, and at this point we need two things about all. The first is the technical consequence of the DNSSEC, and the second is the business vision of the DNSSEC implementation.
DennyArts.se.
Daniel Kalchev from the Bulgarian Registry. We already run DNSSEC, and I think we should join the group anyway.
Richard Wein from the Austrian Registry, NIC IT. We've just started to make some analysis about the technical requirements and about these administrative work around the key management, and I'm happy to hear today and learn about and share your experience.
I'm Steve Goodbarn with Secure64 Software. We have a commercial product, a DNSSEC signer that we'll be introducing next month, and we're working with some people in the room here on late beta for that. We also have an authoritative server that resists a DOS attack at line speed and is resistant to malware. So we would love to talk to anybody, because I think our product is a very low-cost solution to solving your management, key management problems. My colleague Mark Beckett spoke earlier today and will also speak tomorrow. Some of you know Joe Gersh, who unfortunately could not join us because of a death in the family, so who was slotted to speak.
So I heard a number of interesting things there. I figured out that there's about 6 TLDs, four registrars, one hosting provider, one customer, Swedbank. Well, I just tried to see what. Okay, yeah, many customers. Well, I call you a hosting provider and one vendor. I heard Hilde said you would like to know the consequences, but what consequences are you talking about? Is it the DNSSEC or not issue we are discussing, whether you should start with this, or is it the next step? Well, we think we shall do this, but what does it mean? And so the consequences, is it technical consequences, or is it marketing consequences, or what do you mean by consequences?
Have you heard of Winnie the Pooh? The bear that said when he was offered milk or honey said, yes, please? Well, we would like, of course, to know everything before starting with things. We know that that's not possible. So what we are here to learn is what has been seen of consequences so far. Practical consequences like turning on DNSSEC actually creates problems for certain routers is for us interesting because it means that our customers like Sveabank will have to do a risk analysis and say, is the router the possibility that my clients will not be able to reach my site because of the router problem a bigger risk than the risk posed by the Kaminsky bug? What choice will I make? What recommendation will we as a registry make? So those kind of practical consequences is one thing. What we also are very interested in learning about is what will happen administratively, policy-wise, when you start scaling up a solution where today there are few signed zones, there are few users, they are early adopters, they know what they're doing, and you start getting everybody doing DNSSEC, and everybody includes the idiots. And we just wonder what will happen with the models and the administrative burden on the registrars, on the registry, when that happens, and how do we build a model that scales?
Okay, so the first question, could this correlation be good for you in any sense? Could it bring something to you? Because that's one of the objects of the correlation, that actually share information. And that complete cookbook for DNSSEC, I don't know if we could provide that one.
The benefits?
He'll ask for a complete cookbook over DNSSEC.
I'm very, very surprised if you said yes, it's here.
I was still back at the benefits of DNSSEC and sort of what benefits it brings you. It makes you rich, powerful, well-loved, you smell good, and you get a very good night's sleep as well. So, sorry, late afternoon humor here. The cookbook. So... we're halfway there in the sense that there are tools, there are products that did not exist before. We're in much better shape. But there's some more evolution and improvement that will take place. There's plenty of help around, both commercial help that you can pay for and help from friends, you know, for example, here. So... I suspect that the key question is whether you're in a position where you've decided you'll do it, and then it's a question of how to get it done and what help you need, versus whether you're still evaluating whether to do that or not yet in a position. And I don't know, having a complete cookbook is, I would say, maybe not the actual necessary question, because you can always wait for it to get better. At some point, it'll be everybody's done it, and you just sort of follow along. I guess if I were in the position of having a registry and worrying about the resources and the knowledge and the consequences and so forth, I might pick somebody who is who has the experience and who is most similar. And I don't actually know enough about your registry to know how close you are to, I mean, what other registries are
you would view yourself as exactly comparable to or similar to. But a certain amount of each one helps one, or a buddy system, I think, is helpful. I don't know if that's a helpful response, but...
Okay, we haven't been able to write this cookbook yet, but what we have done is to offering a three-day class, and Dot Malaysia is the guinea pig of that class, right? Starting Wednesday until Friday. So that could be an easier way than actually write down everything, because, you know, it's complicated, time-consuming to write. So that's one way to have some sort of class, not on DNSSEC, but more on the systems and the considerations around it. Okay, so I also heard that Bulgaria said we are already running this, but it could be helpful to be on the inside. So shall we continue with the next question? In what way can we contribute to the coalition? And from .se we had said that, okay, this is... I mean, everybody is free to contribute. This is no obligation. So what we would like to contribute with is tools, because we would like to spend some efforts to get better tools. We see the problem with tools. It's not we do have tools today, but we think they should be improved. We see that our registrars need better tools. We see that hosting providers need tools. So we think this is really one thing that could be improved, and we are planning to make this development in open source, so we would gladly contribute with that part. Other of the participants have offered to, or maybe not really offered, but discussed providing other input to this work. How about you, Steve?
I have a very, very small company, and kind of an unusual position in that we're in right in the middle of trying to help the community at large adopt DNSSEC, and we don't directly produce any real tools. But I've been very pleased to be to have been invited to be part of this coalition, and it takes a little bit of time. There's conference calls and email and so forth, as anything does. But from my point of view, it's very well worth it. The characteristic of this coalition, and I view myself as a kind of a sort of semi-outsider in the sense that we're not a registry and we're not a tool vendor, is that the leaders in the field have gotten together to share amongst themselves experience and to have a very warm, welcoming invitation to others to join, and I think that's very positive. I was in a meeting 2 weeks ago focused on DNSSEC, and it was downtown Washington, and there were quite a few people from both government and companies that spent a lot of time worrying about the government. And there was a description of this coalition, and what was interesting to me was that the representative from VeriSign started to pay close attention. And the form of his attention was, oh, what happens if the following, or maybe this would lead to some divergence. And my thought at the time was, ah, well, you're welcome to join, and there's no problem here. But it was as if we finally had gotten the attention of the giant in a way. So this is a very good forum for the practicalities of exactly the kinds of problems of what does it take to move this forward? What is the how do you communicate with customers? What are the implementation issues? What problems come up? How do you support all of this? And reference was made to Alexa Rod, the CEO of PIR. I've been extremely impressed with the approach that she's taken, because it's not a technical, geeky approach. She assumes all of that is under control and being taken care of by the people who do that. And then she's looking at the larger picture of engagement with customers, customer service issues, communications in general, which is an important part of the whole equation. So I think that's the main thing.
But this kind of work, can't it be done in some other organization, or does it?
Well, that's a good question. There's any number of organizations. This one has the advantage that it's focused for the purpose. It has a limited lifetime. It is a very lightweight organization as organizations go. This is mainly a kind of ad hoc working group more than anything else, in my view. Treat each other with enough respect and a little bit of formality so that it looks like an organization. But it's effectively roll up your shirt sleeves and sit down and discuss the things and make a plan and move forward. Yep. Well, with some embarrassment, I have to say I was not actually aware of OpenDNSSEC until today. But OpenDNSSEC is another offering of tools, which is good, which is great. And so, in a way, you have a roster of various tools, and as they mature and become available, then various registries and others will try out those tools and bring that experience into the process, share the experience, and maybe that leads to the kind of cookbook result. But knowledge of and testing and use of tools and contributions from tool vendors, very welcome.
I think that this has a little bit broader scope than OpenDNSSEC. OpenDNSSEC is about getting these pieces together, to bring a system together. This is more of the deployment of DNSSEC as such, which doesn't mean that they, well, relate in some good way. Yeah. Okay, and more questions? Or shall we continue to the next question? How can you contribute? And I heard not so many said that, well, put it that way. How can you contribute? Daniel, you said that, could join. Do you have any good idea how .bg could contribute to this? Or shall we suggest this is really what's needed? We got an Excel sheet stating this is a number of things we should do. This is has to be further more resources into.
Yeah. If I might, Daniel, if I can put you on the spot for a minute, it was absolutely wonderful to see the initiative that you have with for .bg. Can you say something about how far along the process you are? You've got the zone signed, and so what I'm really asking is kind of the next steps of how many registrants you have and what your expectation or plans are for expanding that number over a period of time. Do you have a target, and do you have a plan for doing that?
We have some short-term plans, like a month or so, to organize a meeting like this, of course much smaller, to try to get more of the registrars involved in the process, At the moment, we only have one, and talks with several others that they are interested in implementing DNSSEC. But as I mentioned many times, they have the big problem to overcome their initial understanding of what DNSSEC is. And the problem is that for most people, the first thing they hear about DNSSEC is security. And when they hear security, they imagine something big, expensive, some black box, some strict procedures, and so on. And from their perspective, as far as their business is still running, they don't need to change much on their workflow, and even at new services like DNSSEC. So we actually learned that it is probably easier to get closer to these people if you talk about DNSSEC from the point of view of improving the quality of their service, not just security, because it probably scares them, I mean, the wording. And I think we can share some of our experience, especially the part that it is not that difficult to implement DNSSEC. I think this is something that we can demonstrate, because we started, let's say, a bit late and had the implementation in very short time frame. We didn't have any real problems in the process. And so that's...
Are you saying that you are willing to write a cookbook?
Why not? Yes.
Well,
as it was already said today, implementing DNSSEC over the current DNS system is more like implementing the DNS over the original host file distribution. So there is something. It is something that will happen anyway at some point of time. When more people implement it, it will start happening faster and faster. Like if you remember in the old times, many systems still used the flat text file instead of DNS. But eventually they discovered that it is much, much easier. Even if it requires more resources or learning new things and technologies on their part.
So anybody else willing to comment on how can you contribute to the coalition?
I want to say that I think there is a lot of room for educational material, not only for TLDs on how to implement DNSSEC, but there's a big need for educational material for small companies or bigger ones on how to implement DNSSEC. And I think a risk analysis of the implementation could also be a good thing in the library of what you're making about educational material. That's, these are ideas. I don't know. I was approached earlier in order to see if Enisa could help with this. And at some point, because we have a risk analysis sector unit, let's say. We could help, but I'm not the appropriate person to say that at this point of time.
It seems to me what we need, and maybe it's a little premature for that, but we need a high-profile spokesman who can articulate not just the immediate benefits of DNSSEC, but the future benefits of an internet that can authenticate, that can be a quantum leap more secure, and the follow-on applications that would use that. Because, you know, today we work with a lot of large companies, and it's really astounding that even in the technology space, people don't know about DNSSEC. We work with Hewlett-Packard. Every time you talk to someone, they've never heard of it. And so to get things done, sometimes you need some major corporations to get involved to kind of create some mojo behind it. And it seems like we need someone like that in the very beginning, a high-profile person who can articulate the message, not just for what it means for the next 2 years, but what it means sort of for the future of the internet and the ability to send medical records, you know, and other very, very private data more secure. And I think the other thing is, the world really is in denial on just how insecure the web is today. And DNSSEC isn't the total answer for that, but it's sort of an essential enabling technology to try to get there. And, you know, someone needs to, I think at a certain level people understand that, but I'm not sure that there's nobody out there, you know, yelling fire. And maybe it's not the right time to yell fire. Anyway, it seems like that is something that needs to happen, is that being able to state it in terms that the man on the street can understand or woman on the street can understand.
Have you also considered some good spokesman?
Well, we have, but we don't. But, yeah, I think it would be coming up with someone who, you know, would have that profile.
Just to share some experience, because .my recently just finished the IPv6 the IPv6 developments and going to launch next month. So what we offering to our country agents is our lab environments. So because when we developed the IPv6. We found that there's some hardware is not compliant, and we're going to test it. So now, since we already have the environment, the lab environment, so we just offer to all our government agency, so who want to upgrade, migrate their IPv4 to do a stack, then they can bring their hardware to our lab, and we can help them to test it out. So this is what I think that is called contributions for this IPv6. And we are going to do the same once the DNSSEC is in place. Yeah.
Okay, run out of good contributions.
Thank you. Shall we continue? Would you like to join? I think you're Adam. Is that your as a legal person? Everybody were allowed to join as long as you had the same values or?
I think very soon we're going to have, I can show you a preliminary copy of the charter, and very soon we will have that finalized. So, yeah.
And once that charter is finalized, you know, certainly you can become an official member. You're welcome to become an informal member in the meantime if you're interested, and just make sure that I get your business card, and I'm happy to share with you the preliminary draft of the charter so you'll know what it's going to look like. But again, I think we're pretty informal. If you think you can contribute and share ideas with us and are on the same page, we'd welcome your involvement.
Okay, thank you. So finally, what do you think about this effort? Is it good or bad?
It's great.
Thank you. That's what I'd like to hear. Well, thank you very much for spending this day with us. My suggestion is that we round up now, and those of you who's interested to listen to the root signing saga, I think the timing is perfect. It's the last seminar, last session in the other room, so thank you very much for being here with us. Thank you.